So we want to talk about the mitzvah of Kiddush on Friday night. And on Shabbos day, we want to raise a few questions. First of all, what is the nature of the mitzvah of Kiddush? We know it's derived from Zochar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. But there's not only the Kiddush at night, there's also the Kiddush by day. The Kiddush by day, the Gemara seems to make a big deal about. It calls it Kiddush Rabba. And therefore, we would expect that all the laws of Kiddush and all the regulations that govern Kiddush at night should also apply to the day. And on that, we have a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam, in fact, assumes that the same halachas that apply by day apply at night. The Rambam writes in Perek Chavtes, Mihilcha Shabbos Halacha Yud, Mitzvah Levarach Al Yayim Bayom, Biyom HaShabbos, Kodem Shiyasod Su D'Shniya. Vuhu zeu anikra kiddusha rabba mevarach bar pri hagafen bilvav v'shos v'akach yitol yod v'isa v'asur lo li'odom sheyit om klum kodem hakiddush. The normal halacha that applies to kiddush, meaning at night, that you're not allowed to taste something, eat something before kiddush, applies by day as well. V'gam kiddush zeh lo yeh el b'makom suda. The second requirement that kiddush has to be makom suda applies by day, just as it does by night. And the Ravid gets very ballistic about this, very antagonistic. He says, in Misvara Omra, if the Rambam is basing himself on just some sort of a Svara, in other words, there's no source for this Rambam, Lo Savar Miyomav Svara Pchusa Mizu. This is the worst Svara he could come up with. But then the Ravid explains what led the Rambam, what misled the Rambam. He says, Lefisha Karo, Kiddusha Rabba. Since the Gemara coins the phrase, Kiddusha Rabba, the great Kiddush, referring to Kiddush by day, Yotzalo. But Vienu Klum, Shekvar Niskadish, Ayom, Beknisasu, he already recited Kiddush at night, Al Yayin, Kodum Sheyiton. So why should he have to repeat Kiddush by day? And then the Ravid, I'm just skipping a little, he says, Kishet Darshu. When the Gemara darshins in Psachim, Ainli Ela Balaila, I only know that you have to make Kiddush at night, by Yom Minayin. How do I know that there's a Chiv Kiddush by day? Tam Lomar Es Yom, right? It says Zohar Es Yom. So the extra word Es comes to include the day. So you see that Kiddush by day is included in the whole mitzvah of Kiddush. It's a package deal. Night and day should be two identical twins. He says, no, asmachta bi'almahi, it's only nasmacht. But this Ravid is very strange, because the Ravid is saying that the normal regulations that apply to Kiddush, which apply at night, namely that you can't eat before Kiddush and you have to have Kiddush makom suda, these halachas don't apply in Kiddush by day. So it sounds like the Ravid is denying the very essence, the very cheftza shel Kiddush by day. But the Ravid doesn't go that far. He admits that there's a concept and a kiyum of Kiddush by day. He derives it from an asmachta of S. But nevertheless, it, once having derived it from S, he's not willing to define it as a regular heftza shel Kiddush, and therefore it has a different status. But it's strange. The Ravid ought to be consistent about it. If he admits and he accepts that there is a chiyum of Kiddush by day, it should be the same identical heftza of Kiddush as by night. Why should we allow him to eat before Kiddush? And why doesn't the Ravid require Kiddush b'makom suda? So basically, this question touches on a very fundamental issue, namely, how do we compare the Kiddush by day to the Kiddush that took place by night? Are they fundamentally two different Kiddushim? The Rambam seems to equate them, and the Ravid comes forward and says, no, Kiddush by night is totally different. But what is it, and what's its goal? That's one question we want to raise. Another question we want to raise is, what's the difference between the first Kiddush at night and the second Kiddush at night? There are actually two Kiddushim that we recite at night. One is in Tefillah, and the other is Alakos. The Gemara even goes as far as to equate Havdalah with Kiddush. This is the Gemara in Brachas on Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. The Gemara says, Ki Kiddush, Ma Kiddush, Afal Gav de Mekadesh Bitzlusa. Even though he recites Kiddush in davening, is Mekadesh HaKosa, he still has to come home and recite Kiddush HaLakos on a cup of wine. Af Havdalah Nami. So too we have a mirror image in the case of Havdalah. Afal Gav de Mavdil Bitzlusa. Even though he recites Havdalah Atachon Antonu in Arvis on Motzi Shabbos. Nevertheless, Mavdil Akos, he has to recite a second Havdalah Alakos. So we see that there are two Kiyumim in Kiddush, and parallel, there are two Kiyumim in Havdalah. So the question is obvious. Why do we need a double Kiyum in Kiddush? And likewise, why do we need a double Kiyum in Havdalah? So in the case of Kiddush, we have the first Kiddush, which is in Tefillah, and the second one, which is Alakos. We don't understand why there's a need for two. Usually we do a mitzvah once, not twice. There must be a new chiyuv, some chayev that generates a chiyuv in of Kiddush Alakos that doesn't exist, and it hasn't been fulfilled by the first Kiddush, namely in Tefillah. So those are two questions that we have to ask. We have to understand, number one, what's the relationship between Kiddush at night and Kiddush by day, especially according to the Ravid, who suspends all the regulations that restrict us at night, and he suspends them with regard to Kiddush by day. And secondly, at night itself, we have to understand why this double header, why both Kiddush Kiddush in Tzilusa and Tefillah, and Kiddush Alakos, a second time, a second cue of Kiddush on the wine. What are the two different natures or mechayvim of those two mitzvahs of Kiddush? There's a sugya in Masechet Pesachim that has to be understood. The Gemara tells us in Pesachim Daf Kuf Vav Hamid Beis about Rav, Zimnin Sagian, there were many occasions, Havika Imna Kameh de Rav, Vizimnin de Chavivalei Rifta. Rav quite frequently was excited about eating pas, Makadish HaRifta, and he recited Kiddush on pas. Zimnin Chavivalei Chamra, sometimes he was in the mood for wine, you know, they brought out a good bottle of vintage wine, Makadish HaChamra, and then he would recite Kiddush on wine. This halacha, which is brought down by almost all Rishonim, la halacha, is a very strange halacha. Because if you open up the Rambam in his opening statement about Kiddush, which is in the 29th parak of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam says, Midivrei so from Lekaddish al Hayayin. The Rambam requires Kiddush on Yayin. So what's the Gemara telling us? That Rav was in the mood for bread, for challah, so he recited his Kiddush on challah. But how could that chavivus undermine the mitzvah of Kiddush as the Rambam defines it? Mitzvah saseh, mitzvah divrei sofer l'kaddish al yayin. So what happened to the yayin? What happened to the mitzvah of Kiddush? How could it be replaced by pas? Now we know that in Birchas Hanenim, there is a concept called chavivus, that if you have a choice between two fruits, shall we say, you choose the one that's more chav to recite the bracha first on that. But why would that have any bearing on Kiddush? And how powerful is this halacha of chavivus that it would undermine the ikar mitzvah of Kiddush, which the Rambam defines as Kiddush al Yayin? There's another difficult sugi im sachim, which I want to call to your attention. The Rav Zichrono Livracha used to talk about this sugya very often. It's known in the yeshiva world as Pores Mapo Mekadesh. It's a sugya in Pesachim Adaf Kuf Omer Aleph, at the very beginning of Pesachim. And the Gemara records a three-way machlokes about the following scenario. You started your meal on Erev Shabbos, which is okay, that per se is permissible, but then it became dark out. It's now Shabbos. What do you do in such a case? According to Rabbi Yehuda, mafsikin l'shabbosos, there's an urgent chiyuv that has to be fulfilled immediately, and that is the mitzvah of Kiddush. And therefore, mafsikin, you have to completely terminate your meal. The meal was started mibojom, now it's chashecha, you have to terminate the meal. How do you terminate the meal? The Gemara says in two ways. There are two conditions that have to be fulfilled. Number one, akiras hashulchan. So we completely take away the shulchan as they did in those days. They used to eat at each one had his own individual table. Take away the table. And number two, birkas hamazon. And then you recite Kiddush. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Rabbi Yossi Omer Eimafsik. Rabbi Yossi says he started the meal Mibojom, finish the meal. It may take you an hour, 2 hours, whatever it is, and then you'll make Kiddush. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel Ein Halacha Lo Ki Rabbi Yehuda Velo Ki Rabbi Yossi. We're not going to accept Rabbi Yehuda that we have to completely terminate the previous meal immediately. We're not going to accept Rabbi Yossi that you continue with this meal until its very end, because we do have an urgent need to make Kiddush. It's right now, there's a Chiv Kiddush. Ella, but rather, Pores Mapa Umekadesh. There's some sort of a, we'll call it a compromise shita here. Excuse me, in the name of Shmuel. Of Pores Mapa Umekadesh. So the Rishonim talk about Rabbi Yehuda in terms of this group of people who began eating Mibojom and now Kiddush Aleihem Hayom, they have to be Mafsik. And they end the first Suda, as we said, with Akiras Shulchan Aruch, and then they wash their hands again for a new Suda. That's a little bit odd. I mean, what would you say on Sukkot morning, just imagine the following scenario, you didn't have a lulav to take. So you sit down, and you eat your meal, Nebuchadnezzar of a lulav. All of a sudden, in the middle of the meal, somebody comes running, I got a lulav for you, I got the dalad minim for you. So what are you going to do? You're going to bench in order to take the lulav? The Gemara actually has such a case and says that you have to stop for the dalad minim, but it doesn't say that you have to be mafsik your suda. This is a Gemara in Sukkah daf lamed ches. If he started eating, he's going to be mafsik to take the lulav even in the middle of his suda. But no Tana ever says that he has to bench, terminate his Suda, shake the lulav, and then go back to start a new Suda again. So what's the difference between Kiddush and lulav? I mean, lulav is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Maybe Kiddush is a mitzvah d'oraisa too, according to some Rishonim. But nevertheless, I don't see why Kiddush is more powerful than lulav, and Kiddush would require me to stop my meal, as Rabbi Yehuda has it, terminate it with Birkas HaMazon and start a new one after Kiddush. Why not say the same thing by lulav? The Gemara doesn't have that possibility as lulav, by lulav. But a second question that should really bother our mind is, why does Rabbi Yossi allow you to continue your Suda? It's a little strange. You know, it's time for Kiddush. So you started your Suda, fine. Why is Rabbi Yossi so laid back about it, he's so lenient about it, that he lets you, he allows you to go ahead and continue your Suda, he permits you to go for hours with your Suda? What about the mitzvah of Kiddush? Shouldn't he be mafsik? All right, he doesn't have to end the meal, according to Rabbi Yossi, but at least he should be mafsik and recite Kiddush. Now's the time. And then we have to address the issue of the third shita, the shita of Shmuel. I call it the compromise middle shita, middle of the road shita of Pores Mapo Mekadesh. What sense do we make out of that? We cover over everything on the table, we cover the bread, and then we organize Kiddush al Yayin. Why not recite Kiddush without Priestess Mapo? In other words, none of the three shitos allow you and obligate you to do what intuitively we would say would be the natural response to this issue, namely stop immediately to recite Kiddush, but recite Kiddush in the middle of your meal. Again, getting back to the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Ches, the Gemara say that if somebody brings you a lulav in the middle of a meal, that you should be Pores Mapa, you should cover the entire meal and the bread on the table with a tablecloth. And in fact, if you take a look in the Rashbam and others, there's a Gemara Psachim that becomes relevant here. It's on Daf Kuf Amid Beis. The Gemara says over there, "V'shavin she'ein mevi'inus ha'shulchan elim kein kiddush." That really the shulchan should be brought out after kiddush. That sounds a little bit like this Pores Mapa u'makadosh. That the shulchan is there; it's set. You've started your meal on Friday afternoon. But we're not supposed to bring out the Shulchan before Kiddush. So therefore, Shmuel says, as a middle shita, Pores Mapa Mekadesh, which is sort of like as if you're bringing out the Shulchan after Kiddush, because you've covered the Shulchan during Kiddush. And they all quote, I mean, Tosis quotes the statement of Rav Achai going, why is it important to bring out the Shulchan after Kiddush? What's all the drama about bringing out the table after Kiddush? Ki hechi de teise seuda biyakara de shabsa. So that the seuda should be brought out lichvod Shabbos. Okay, it's a very interesting halacha of Achaigo, but what does it mean? What's the significance of bringing out the meal lichvod Shabbos? And in fact, I know people who have such a minhag that they don't bring out the food on the table the way we usually do and set the entire table before Shabbos. They bring out the food after Kiddush. But what's that all about? There's an issue about Chamar Medina, which the Rav Zichron Levracha used to talk about. It's very hard, very difficult to find consistency here in logic when Chamar Medina, when Shechar is acceptable, and when we need wine and only wine. The Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph reports, in the name of HaMeimar Rav Ashi Mavdilin al Shechar, that with regard to Havdalah, you can recite Havdalah on Chamra de Medina. The Rambam in Hilchas Shabbos, Perek Chavtes, Halachi Yud Zayin, writes, Medina Sherov Yena Shechar, if it's the custom that the, in a sense, the most popular beverage in that area, in that geographic location at that time, is Shechar, to drink beer. Apparently beer was a very significant commodity in those days. Afal Pishu Posel L'Kiddush Mutal L'Havdil Olav. The Rambam establishes that you cannot use Shechar for Kiddush, but you can use it for Havdalah. Ho'il v'hu chamar ha-medina. Now many Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, and they assume that chamar medina is kosher for both Kiddush and Havdalah, even though the Gemara only goes on record, as we saw before, Daf Kuf Zayin is saying Mavdilin al Sheikhar, it doesn't say Bekadshim al Sheikhar, but nevertheless, why differentiate between Havdalah and Kiddush? They always go together, they're mirror images of each other. But yet the Rambam, when he sees the Gemara in Pesachim Kuf Zayin that says a Mekadshim al Sheikhar, he understands that what that means is, literally, you're not allowed to be Mekadesh on Chamar Medina. Not the way the other Rishonim interpreted Ein Mekadesh on HaShechar means that there's a din kedima, you know, that if you can use wine or use bread, you know, Shechar is last on the totem pole. But nevertheless, according to all Rishonim, if you made Kiddush on Chamar Medina on beer, you were Yotze. Just like in the case of Shechar. Why then would the Rambam differentiate between Kiddush and Havdalah? And in truth, the story gets even more complicated because the Gemara in Brachos talks about the case of Birkas HaMazon, and many people have the minhag of reciting Birkas HaMazon over a kos, and certainly if there's a minyan. Now the question is, what would be appropriate for Birkas HaMazon al kos? Wine or Chamar Medina? So if you open up to the Rambam Hilchas Brachos, Perek Zayin Alocha Tesvav, the Rambam writes, Afal Pishayim Birkas HaMazon Tzricha Yayin. Technically, there's no obligation to organize your Birkas HaMazon over wine. In Birech Ala Yayin Kim Minhag, if he accepts that minhag of reciting Birkas HaMazon over Kos Yayin, the Rambam gives you all the dinim that apply to what's called the Koshel Bracha. You need Hadacha, you need Shtifa, you should fill it up to the top. And here the Rambam mentions Yayin. Completely omits Chamar Medina. So whereas in the Rambam, in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Chav Tes, Halacha Yud Zayin, goes out of his way when he's discussing Shechar, to say that you can recite Havdalah over Chamar Medina, over Shechar, in the case of the Rambam in Birkas HaMazon, Hilchos Brachos, Perek Zayin, the Rambam completely omits mention of Chamar Medina, of beer, and all he talks about is wine. From the omission of the Rambam, you get the distinct impression that if for a kosher Birkas HaMazon, you need Yayin. And what about Birchas Nesuin? That means Sheva Brachas, which we recite over every meal that has a minyan during the Shivas Yimei Mishta. The Rambam writes in Perek Yud Milchus Ishus Halacha Dalid that the bracha, the seven brachas, should be recited over a kos, but in this case, a kos shel Yayin. So basically, the Rambam seems to require a koshel yayin, dafka yayin, in three instances. Number one, in Kiddush, in Birkas HaMazon, and number three, in Birkas Nesuin. But in the case of Havdalah, he allows for Shechar, for Chamar Medina. Not only that, in Hilchas Ishus, when he talks about a kos for Birchas Erisin, that's in Perek Gimel Mehilchas Ishus, in this case, Halacha Chav Dalet, he says, Nagu Ha'am Lahazdir Brachas Hu Al Koshal Yain Oshel Shechar. All of a sudden, the Rambam reminds himself of Chamar Medina. In Perek Yud, just seven prakim later, Mehilchas Ishus, he says that there's no possibility, at least in the Rambam's context, of being Mevarech Birchas Nesuin, which means Sheva Brachas, over a Koshal Shechar, over Chamar Medina, requires Yain. But here, in Birchas Erisin, he allows for Shechar. So let's assume, for argument's sake, that the Koshal Havdalah, or the Koshal Shel Birchas Erisin, is your quintessential paradigm of a Koshal Bracha. And a Koshal Bracha has many dinim. One of the dinim is that you need Chamar Medina, some significant drink, but you don't need Yayin. And yet, in Kiddush, Birchas HaMazon, Birchas Nesuin, which is also, there are also cases of a Koshal Bracha, the Rambam requires Yayin. All right, we've had many, many questions, and now we go to the most important sugya that perhaps is going to crack open the whole understanding and really open up new vistas and doors for us in terms of what Kiddush is all about. And this Gemara is tucked away in Masechta Brachos on Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis. The Gemara records Rav Tzoli Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. What it means is that Rav Davin Meiriv on Friday evening, early, before Shkiyas HaChama, as we are wont to do in our time during the summer months. And the Gemara goes on and raises the following question. Okay, Rav Davin Meiriv on Erev Shabbos. After he accepted upon himself Shabbos. That's called Tosefes Shabbos. What about Kiddush al HaKos? Did he come home and it was still light out to eat his Shabbos meal and recite Kiddush al HaKos? Oh, ain't no Omer Kiddush al HaKos? Or did he not recite Kiddush al HaKos until nightfall? The Gemara later concludes that he did recite Kiddush al HaKos. But what's the Gemara vacillating about? So the Rav Zichron Levracha, in his Yartzeit Shia, made a big deal about this Gemara. He says, we don't understand. There's a Kiddush in Tefillah, in Meiriv, that Rav clearly recited after Plaga Mincha, after he accepted upon himself Tosefes Shabbos, that the Gemara records. But when it comes to Kiddush al HaKos, the Gemara is not sure about it. Vacillates back and forth, raising the possibility that Kiddush al HaKos is impossible at that time. You have to wait till nightfall. So what's the difference? Why should Kiddush in Tefillah be fulfilled mib'od yom, before nightfall, and Kiddush in al HaKos requires nightfall? Now let's go back to this halacha that the Gemara records, Rav Tzoli Shal Shabbos B'Erev Shabbos. There are two chidushim that are implicit in this practice of Rav to daven Meiriv early on Erev Shabbos. Number one, the fact that you can daven Meiriv before nightfall, which is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda at the beginning of Brachas. And the question is, do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? So any night of the week, tonight is Wednesday night, am I allowed to daven Meiriv like Rabbi Yehuda after Plaga Mincha, or do I have to wait till nightfall? So we have a principle called the Ovid Kemar Ovad. The Ovid Kemar Ovad, which means that the Gemara allows you to take a choice and either paskin like the Chacham daven Meiriv late, or paskin like Rabbi Yehuda daven Meiriv early. It's no gay also to Mincha. Because if you're davening Meiriv like Rabbi Yehuda, then Mincha could be pushed up before Plaga Mincha. You have to have an early Mincha. So this halacha that Rav had the custom of davening his Friday night davening early would first and foremost reflect a halacha which is relevant the whole week long. It's not specific and limited to Shabbos. Namely, that you can rely on the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda la'alacha and daven Meiriv early. But then there's another halacha over here. This case of Rav was on Friday night. Or shall I say, how do we call it? Let's call it Friday Eve, not Friday night. What I mean by Friday Eve is it's not yet nightfall. So technically it's not yet Shabbos, and yet Rav is davening Meiriv And what does this Ma'ariv have? What does it contain in it? In addition to the Kiyum of Tefillah, it has another aspect, another dimension to it, namely a Kiyum of Kiddush, of Zachar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Here's an unbelievable Kiddush. Just because you accepted upon yourself Shabbos, what we call Tosefta Shabbos, therefore it's Shabbos? It's not Shabbos, it's Friday. What's between Friday and Sunday or Wednesday? It's Kol Gomor. You accepted upon yourself Shabbos, and therefore the color that you have Kedusha Shabbos, you can recite Kiddush? Zachar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. It's not Yom HaShabbos. But if on the other hand Rav did it, then he's revolutionary in his Chiddush that even Mibod Yom, after Plaga Mincha, when you accept upon yourself Shabbos, then somehow the power of Tosefta Shabbos that was given by the Halacha, which is, by the way, derived from... Do you know where it's derived from, by any chance? What's the source for Tosefta Shabbos in the Torah? Where does the Torah tell us that you can add Minachol, Minachodesh Alachol? You have any clue? Anybody? Yom Kippur. Because in Yom Kippur it says Yom Tishi ba'erev, may erev ad erev. So since the Torah focuses on the ninth of Tishrei and speaks about the fast, the question is obvious. The ninth of Tishrei is not Yom Kippur. So the Gemara derives from here Tosefes Yom Kippur linyan inui v'nisav es nafsho seichem. So you accept upon yourself Yom Kippur mibod yom, as we all do, and we come to shul and we're wearing our sneakers and we're no longer taking drinks of water, reciting Tefillah Zaka. That's the source for Tosefes. So now the Gemara says, according to Rav, this is a breakthrough, a revolution, that since you accepted upon yourself Tosefes Shabbos, is there for a Shabbos? If it's Shabbos, you can come in the midst of Kiddush Zochris Yom Shabbos Kacha. If that be the case, if that's what Rav's saying, then why can't he come home, eat his meal, and recite Kiddush Halakos? What's the difference between the first Kiddush and the second Kiddush? That's really the sugya that has to somehow open up the window or the door here to understand what this mitzvah of Kiddush is all about. So how many questions did we ask all told? I think we had five, no?
Seven
kashas. Okay, seven kashas include Shabbos, right? Because it's the Yom HaShvi'i. There are other questions that the Rav asked at the Yahrzeit Shiur, which I think we'll leave out for now because I'm afraid that they're too advanced and too complicated. The Rav has a question here about a person who came home after Shabbos and he ate before Avdolah. So you're not allowed to eat before Avdolah for some reason, just like you can't eat before Kiddush. You know, to some extent the laws of Avdolah parallel, mirror image, the laws of Kiddush. So this guy went ahead and he ate before Avdolah. And not only that, but he did another Avera, so to speak. In Ma'ariv, in the Tefillas Arvus, he forgot to mention Havdalah, Atachan Antanu. So normally the halacha is, if you leave out Atachan Antanu, then you have no problem. You don't repeat Shmon Esrei. I mean, you have a problem, but that problem is not severe enough to obligate you to repeat Shmon Esrei. Why? Because you recite Havdalah Akos. Here, that you ate before making Havdalah, so you did a double Avera here, Tarti L'Reis, so we're not going to let you get by with Ma'ariv without Atachon Antanu. Even though the halach is you'll be Mavdil Alakos, the fact that you ate before Havdalah doesn't preclude your ability to recite Havdalah Alakos. You will, in fact, recite Havdalah Alakos, and that's obligatory. Nevertheless, you're going to have to repeat Shmon Esrei. But wait a minute, the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos on Lamed Gimel that you don't repeat Shmon Esrei of Atach, if you left that Atachon Antanu because you have Havdalah Alakos. And in this case, that you ate before Havdalah, you still have the possibility and the obligation to recite Havdalah Kos. So why should you repeat Shmon Esrei for the sake of Havdalah? So again, as I said, that's a complicated question that I don't know if we can deal with at this particular juncture. We'll keep it in the back pocket, in the on the back burners. We also have another question here. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Amid Beis, says that a person is not allowed to involve himself in work before Havdalah. And if he needs to do some work, then he should recite Baruch Hamavdo Ben Kodesh L'chol. A person is not allowed to eat before Havdalah. But Baruch Hamavdo Ben Kodesh L'chol is not going to help him. That will not give him license and permit him to eat before Havdalah. So with regard to eating before Havdalah, that prohibition is absolute with no conditions, no strings attached. With regard to Isur Melacha before Havdalah, he has a way out. He has to recite Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol, but that Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol is not going to help him if he wants to eat. For that, he's got to recite Havdalah. So what's the difference between the Isur Melacha before Havdalah and the Isur Achila before Havdalah? Another question is on a very complicated sugi in Psachim Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis that addresses the issue of somebody who started a meal on Friday and now he's going to recite Kiddush, but he also wants to recite Birkas HaMazon. The question is, can one kuss serve a double function? Can it be both Birkas HaMazon and Kiddush at the same time? And a similar question arises with regard not just to Kiddush and Birkas HaMazon, because the Gemara establishes that in that case, Einos and Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas, you have to take two different cups of wine. But a similar problem arises with regard to Havdalah and Birkas HaMazon. Let's say, for example, you've eaten a meal at the end of Shabbos, towards the end of Shabbos, we'll call it Sudash Lishit if we like, and now you're ready to recite Birkas HaMazon. Can you use the same cost of Birkas HaMazon for Havdalah that you're going to have to recite later? So you have issues about combining Kiddush and Birkas HaMazon on one coast, combining Havdalah and Birkas HaMazon on one coast. And the question is, when do we apply the rule of Ein Osim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas? And here too, it's very difficult to find some sort of consistent system or a halacha that will underscore all the different cases of when you can use one kos for both and when you have to take two kosos. So that'll have to wait until we research that a little bit further. But what I'd like to do in the next 5-10 minutes before we complete the shiur is to discuss with you the case of Rav that we spoke about in Brachos Chav Zayin Amid Beis. Would it be acceptable for Rav to come home on Friday night and recite Kiddush Al HaKos even though it's still light out? Or does he have to wait until Shabbos enters? So to explain this suffix in the Gemara, the Rav raised the Chakira here regarding the nature of Tosefes Shabbos. Two ways of going, two possible definitions in what Tosefes Shabbos is all about. The first definition is, can you convert Chol into Kodesh? Does Tosefes Shabbos give me the power to make Friday afternoon after Plag HaMincha into Shabbos? That's the first side in Chakir. The first side says yes, 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 you can do such a thing. The second side says no. How can you take Chol and make it into Shabbos? What power do you have in your two hands to create, to fashion Kedusha Shabbos? You don't have the ability to do so. Tosefes Shabbos is something else. In truth, it's Chol. But what happens through Tosefes Shabbos? What do you create? Not Kodesh. The first side is to create Kodesh. And the second side objects and says you can't create Kodesh. But what do you create? It's not full Kodesh, but something partial. You're enjoined from what?
Melach.
Melach. It's only as far as Isur Melach is concerned. So in the second side of the Rav's Chakira as he formulated it, even if you've accepted upon yourself Tosefes Shabbos and you're enjoined from doing any of the melachas, but nevertheless the mitzvah of kibud, the mitzvah of owning, any of the positive mitzvahs, menucha, setting up three sudos, whatever mitzvah applies to Shabbos, cannot be kicked off by Tosefes Shabbos. Tosefes Shabbos is limited. It's restricted to Isur Malach. And what the Rav, I think, is saying is that Kedusha Shabbos has two different dimensions to it. And they're fundamentally separate one from the other. One aspect or dimension of Kedusha Shabbos is Isur Malach. The other dimension is the full-fledged Kedusha Shabbos that generates not just los aseh, not just negative abstention, but also aseh. And it gives you all the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos. For that you need a full-blown, how shall I say, totally developed and sophisticated Kedusha Shabbos. Tosefes Shabbos might work in one of two ways. We don't understand, we don't know how it works. You could say that Tosefes Shabbos generates a full-fledged Kedusha Shabbos. Heim le'inyan Isur Malacha and heim le'inyan Mitzvah Sayom, the positive commands. But you might object to that. You might say, wait a minute, Tosefes Shabbos is not that all-powerful. Tosefes Shabbos doesn't mean that, poof, I can take chol and make it into kodesh. I mean, who are you fooling? It's chol. It's no different than Sunday or Wednesday. What the Torah gave you power to do is to enjoin, to create for yourself an Isur Malacha. What I call Tosefes Shabbos Linyan Kedushas Isur Malacha. That you can do. The Torah says Kedoshim to you. The Ramban says Kaddish Atzmecha B'Mutalecha. I can take this piece of Danish, which my daughter prepared for me. It's a perfect Danish. It's whole wheat. It's made with Splenda brown sugar. It's great. And what I can do is, I can say, Ugazu Asura Alai Bened. And I can basically turn it into a Chefta di Surah, but only as far as myself is concerned. For everyone else, you can eat it. It's a Chefta de Tera. It's Mutar Gomor. So we see already that there is a precedent in the halacha for a person creating a subjective Isur. For you, there's no Isur Malacha. It's Friday afternoon. It's no different than Sunday or Wednesday. For me, I'm enjoined from Malacha. Why? Because I accepted upon myself Tosefes Shabbos. But who says you can go ahead and make it into Shabbos? And therefore be obligated in the Mitzvah Sayom? The Nafkamin is going to be Kiddush. And here we have to raise another question. What aspect, what dimension of Kedusha Shabbos produces a Chiyuv Kiddush? When the Torah says Zochar Siyom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, what is that Zechira of Kiddush? Is it the Zechira of the full-fledged, fully developed, sophisticated Kedusha Shabbos that incorporates all the mitzvahs Hayom? Or no? It's only the Isur Malacha aspect, that Kedusha is sufficient. And here the Rav comes up with a brilliant, brilliant chap. The Gemara says, with regard to women, that women are obligated as men are in the mitzvah of Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. The Gemara talks about this in Brachos and in Shavuos Daf Chav, and the question is obvious. Women we know are exempt from which mitzvahs? Zman Grama. Isn't Kiddush a classical case of a mitzvah Seishah Zman Grama? So the Gemara says that there are two times that the Torah obligates me in Kiddush. There's Aseres HaDibros HaRishonos in Parshas Yisro, and then we have the Dibros Shnios in Parshas Vaschanan. What does it say in Yisro? Zochar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. What does it say in Vaschanan? Shom Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. So the Gemara says, the difference is that Zochar refers to Kiddush, Shomer refers to Isur Malacha. Kol sheyeshno b'shomer, yeshno b'zochar. Shmirat Shabbat, to be Shomer Shabbos, means to be meticulous and stay away from Isur Malacha, from doing Malacha. And women are certainly equal to men as far as Isur Malacha is concerned of Shabbos, because women are equal to men as far as all Isurim are concerned. But in the case of Zachar, which is a classical case of a mitzvah sashesh man grama, perhaps we should exempt women? The answer is no. Since women are included in Shamar, women are included in Zachar. as the Rav would formulate it, the Machayev of Kiddush of Zachar is Shamar, which means Isur Malacha. The Kiddush Shabbos that generates the Chiyuv and the Mitzvah of Zechira Shabbos Aliyah, meaning Kiddush, is the Mitzvah of Shamar, which is the flip side of Isur Malacha, of Lo Sasu Kol Malacha. And therefore, when we daven on Friday night Tfilas Arvis, that tefillah, besides being a Chefetz Shel Tefillah, is also a unit of Kiddush. In other words, the way Chazal established the mitzvah of Zochus Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, we fulfill it within the framework of tefillah. And therefore tefillah gains new dimensions in the case of Friday night, because it carries with it, within it, a mitzvah of Kiddush. Says the Rav, that mitzvah of Kiddush, which we fulfill in tefillah on Friday night, is dependent upon and generated by the Isur Malacha, the Menucha of Shabbos. And that's why we open up that tefillah by saying, Ritzei b'menucha seinu. What's Menucha seinu? Menucha seinu is the positive side of the negative side of Isur Malacha. In other words, the Isur Asiyas Malacha, when it expresses itself in a positive way, is called Menucha Shabbos, which is derived from Shabbos Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, the Pasuk in Parashas Vayeschanan. The Kiddush that we recite in Tefillah is generated by Shamar, by the Isur Malacha. So it opens with Ritzei B'Menucha Seinu, and it closes with V'Anuchu Ba Yisrael Mekadshei Shemecha. What's V'Anuchu Ba? Again, the same concept. Menucha Shabbos is Yishmirat Shabbat Mi Isur Malacha, is Kedusha Shabbos of Isur Malacha. Says the Rav, in contradistinction to the Kiddush of Tefillah, the Kiddush that one recites Alakos is an entirely different mitzvah. This mitzvah is not generated by Isur Malacha, but rather by the entire full-fledged Kedusha Sayom of Kibud, Oneg, Chiv Sud. In fact, the Rav taught us, Kiddush and Tefillah and Kiddush Alakos are two separate independent kiyumim. The first is a fulfillment of mitzvah zechira, and it depends on the Kedusha Shabbos of Menucha, based on this hekesh of Shomar v'zochar b'dibur echad, called sheyeshno v'shmira, yeshno v'zechira. In a word, Isur Malacha. But in the second case, that second Kiddush on Friday night is totally different than the first. What generates and produces that Chiyuv Kiddush is the Chiyuv Kibud V'Oneg, or more specifically, the mitzvah or the din of Seuda. And what's the proof? How do we know that it's the mitzvah of Seuda which produces that second Kiddush of Kiddush Alakos? Can you tell me? What halacha would just, how should I say, prove beyond a question of a doubt that Kiddush is a function of Seuda, that the Chiyuv Seuda of Shabbos generates Kiddush with regard to Kiddush Alakos? You have it? Correct, Asur L'Tom, the Isur Te'ima Kodem Kiddush. What's the nature of the Isur Te'ima? It's the fact that Kiddush is the matir of the Suda. So to eat and partake of food before the Kiddush is a violation of the very nature of Kiddush. Kiddush has to be the kickoff of Suda. Now, when you think about it, it's very odd, this Isur Te'ima Kodem Kiddush, you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush. Where do we find such a thing? Is there precedent or parallel elsewhere? Are you familiar with the sugya of Brachas Daf Yudam and Beis with regard to Lo Sochlu Al Adam? The Gemara derives from Lo Sochlu Adam, Lo Sochlu Kodem Shetispalel Al Dimchem. What are you allowed to eat before davening in the morning? Nothing. Why? Because the Torah says Lo Tochlu Al Adam, and the Torah Shebal Peh interprets this pasuk to be the source for a prohibition against eating before davening. And anyone you know who eats before davening, he's got to face the music on this halacha. With regard to mincha, for example, if I want to daven mincha or any other tefillah, or with regard to any mitzvah, basically, that I do, there's an Issur to be koveh suda. Why? Because if you get involved in eating, who knows where you'll lead to. At the end of the day, you won't be able to daven, or you won't be able to do this mitzvah, that mitzvah. Te'ima, you're allowed to. But here, with regard to Kiddush, we're saying that Te'ima is prohibited. Kiddush is that much more chamur. And the truth be told, the machlokas in Psachim Daf Kuvavam in Beis of Tom Kaddish or Tom Einam Kaddish makes no sense. How could it be that according to Shmuel, if you violated the Issur Te'ima and you ate before Kiddush, then you're robbed of the possibility of reciting Kiddush? Did we ever find such a case where you do an Avera and therefore you close the doors in front of you to do a mitzvah? It's like a chote miskar kind of thing. Why shouldn't he fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush? You're not allowed to eat before Shachris. So I went ahead and I ate before Shachris. Is anyone going to tell me therefore I can't daven? Shachris is gone? We don't have such a halacha. So why is it that according to Shmuel, according to this one man, the Omar at least, if you went ahead and you ate before davening, before Kiddush, and you violated the Issur Te'ima before Kiddush, then you can't recite Kiddush. You forfeit the right to fulfill this mitzvah of Kiddush. Why? It doesn't make any sense. But the answer apparently is that before Kiddush, if you eat, you've already started your eating process. You've already set up a suda, which is not part of the suda structure that has to be fulfilled on Shabbos. And that's the structure of Kiddush. Kiddush ticks off the suda. Kiddush is the first, it's the harbinger. Kiddush in Suda is, what shall I say, like Shtei Alechem, which is the carbon that's brought on Atzeres on Shavuos, and allows you to bring all the other carbonos min HaChadosh afterwards. Because the kickoff of this year's season, as far as carbonos are concerned, as far as menachos are concerned, is the Shtei Alechem. And so too, the kickoff of Suda has to be Kiddush. If you eat before Kiddush, then Kiddush is no longer the beginning of the process of Suda Shabbos. In effect, your eating before Kiddush undermines the mitzvah of Kiddush. It makes this mitzvah paguma. Paguma means it's now a second-rate mitzvah. Because the paradigm of Kiddush and the pristine, perfect form of Kiddush is that Kiddush should be the first achila. The Kiddush itself sets up that achila. That's why Osur Litom Kodim Kiddush. And that's why, according to Shmuel, if you violate that Issur and you eat before Kiddush, then you really, in effect, have undermined the mitzvah of Kiddush. The mitzvah of Kiddush is not the same. And now we understand why Ein Kiddush El V'Makom Suda, because there's such an intimate connection between Kiddush and Suda. Let's come back now full swing to the Gemara about Rav. The Gemara now has an excellent argument against Rav reciting Kiddush al HaKos mi ba'od yom when it's still light out. Yes, he can recite Kiddush and Tefillah. Even though it's light out, it's not yet Shabbos, he accepted upon himself Tosefes Shabbos. Tosefes Shabbos has the power to create for you on a subjective level Kiddusha Shabbos l'inyan Issur Melacha, to create a mitzvah of menucha ata, that you now can be mekayim mitzvah menucha. It gives you the machayev of shomer siyom shabbos lekacha. But Kiddush al HaKos, that's a horse of a different color. It's a Kiddush of a different color. The Kiddush al HaKos is generated by the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos, the mitzvah of kibud, the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos, by the full-fledged, total, sophisticated Kiddusha Shabbos with all its colors, both the negative and the positive, both the losas and the asay. Tosefes Shabbos, as we said before, might not be powerful enough to generate a full-fledged Kiddusha Shabbos that goes beyond the Issur Melacha and includes all the mitzvahs hayom. That full-fledged Kiddusha Shabbos requires Laila. Your Tosefes Shabbos is personal, subjective. It's like Kadesh Atzmecha B'mutu L'cha, you've accepted upon yourself Issur Melacha. But that's not enough to create Shabbos. It's chol. You cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. And if you don't have Suda Shabbos, then you don't have Kiddush al HaKos. The other questions now, I think, will fall into place one by one. But I think it's getting late and it's time to end the shiur. So I'll thank you all for coming to the shiur.